Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and our study of the resurrection. All Christians have always believed in the resurrection of every human being to be judged, but the prevailing view of what is called a general resurrection, in which everyone is raised to be judged at the same time, is not taught in Scripture. So we invite you to spend the next half hour with us as we see the resurrection, and that there are two types of resurrection, and that these take place in five separate phases.
If you want to turn there, we're going to start here in Daniel chapter 12. And this is just one of the wonderful passages that at least try to keep in mind, even if you don't memorize it, in the back of your mind, make a note of in your Bible, where the resurrection is clearly taught in the Old Testament. So Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, read that with me. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." So there it is. That's those who sleep. The Bible word sleep is referring to the fact that when you die, that is not the end. When you die, you don't become worm food. Amen? When you die, your body goes into a grave and will decay according to natural processes. But that's not you. But this means there's a place where those who aren't saved go. And they are conscious. And so this question we're asking today, we're not going to get into all those questions and answers, but just the fact that when you die, you are still conscious. And at some point in the future, you will be reunited with your body, but this time it will have all of its teeth, it will not have cancer, it will not have diabetes, it will not have any of these issues, bad backs, rheumatoid arthritis, rickets, what's a real painful one? Gout. You know, you name it. You're not going to have any of that stuff.
Fibromyalgia.
Baldness. I'm going to have an afro. Yeah. Or I might have like a... You see my wig? I have a wig. I'll wear it for you sometime. I wore it at our wedding, didn't I? You guys remember that?
At the reception.
She wouldn't let me wear it during the wedding. But it was red and gray, Ohio State. Yeah. Yeah. I got pictures. So, she made me take it off after like 15 seconds. But anyway, that resurrection body is something to look forward to. And we're going to see that. But that's what that Daniel 12, I want to go right to the end of the book. We're going to come back to Revelation again later. You don't have to turn there, but Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. There's where we're going with this. There's passages that say there's a resurrection, and it just says there'll be some that are raised to life and some to contempt. There will be the resurrection of the just and the unjust. And that's just a general statement. But the Bible also breaks it down for us. And the Bible says that there's not just one resurrection. There is, well, right here, there's the first resurrection. Now, if there's a first, doesn't that suggest there's more than just one? Possibly be. But we'll see why when it says second, it calls it the second death. Because it's not a happy time. But we'll come back to that. So that's why on your sheet you'll see that says two types and five phases. We're going to look at that in a minute. The two types are the first resurrection and the second death. That's the choice. Now, we're going to see the first resurrection is to life, and the only difference between the five phases is when you lived. We're going to see that. Of course, the first fruits we'll see is a person, and the next difference is when you live. So there's your chart. We'll start with the first level there. The five phases of the first resurrection that we're going to look at is Jesus. Jesus was the first resurrected. And you'll see on your chart, he's called the first fruits, the first born, and the first begotten. So let's look at Jesus as the first fruits, or the first phase of the two types of the resurrection. Jesus is called the first fruits, firstborn from the dead, A lot of cults will use that word firstborn to make it look like Jesus was created. The word for firstborn, when used of Jesus, is not talking about Christmas. It's talking about He's the firstborn from the dead. And then it calls Jesus the first begotten of the dead. And we'll look at that in depth here. 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, most of your questions are answered regarding the resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15. Just keep that, make a note. Resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15. And it's a chapter that begins with spelling out the gospel in the first four plus verses. How that Christ died according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So right there is the resurrection in the gospel. And then in verses 22 and 23, we have this explained. Well, just read it with me. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at His coming. So you picture it when it comes to the resurrection of the just. Look on the back of your, we'll see this again in a minute, but on the back of your handout, you have it kind of laid out there for you. The resurrection pertains to the just and the unjust. And we're looking at the five phases of the resurrection, or the four phases of the resurrection of the just. And the first was Jesus Christ. He was the first fruits. Of course, we get into the study of the feasts of Israel, and there was a feast of first fruits. And all of that pictures, the feast picture the life of Jesus Christ, by the way. And we can't jump into all that right now, but that's a good study we'll have to do again sometime soon. So Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are at Christ's coming. Now, that is not going to just be one event. That is going to break down into three separate phases. So it's like the Bible cracks it down to just and unjust, and then the just cracks it down to Jesus and those afterward, and then it cracks it down to the three that are afterwards. Which we'll continue to see that. But here's a reference to Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, and that's Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. And you don't have to turn there, you can make a note, Colossians 1, 18. And it says, talking about Jesus, He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. It makes sense. If God is going to raise all those in, who are going to be in heaven for eternity, who's He going to start with? He's going to start with Jesus. You remember Jesus resurrected from the dead. He rose. He resurrected people in His life. But they all went back and ended up dying afterwards. It was a temporary thing. Lazarus died, laid in the grave, said his body stinks. It's even to the point of decay. Jesus reversed that and caused him to be raised. But Lazarus later died. Jesus was the first to resurrect and ascend to heaven in a glorified body. And He's the first fruits. It's also why He's called the first begotten of the dead in Revelation 1:5. We studied that on Wednesday night a couple weeks ago. Says the introduction to the book of Revelation says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. So Jesus is the first begotten of the dead. And so those are three key phrases to remember about Jesus Christ pertaining to the resurrection. And He is the first fruits with Old Testament saints. And then comes the end time harvest, if you think of that. We're going to see this in a minute. Now, I want to tell you, a lot of folks, even though they are sound on most doctrine, they don't teach what we're about to study. And I'll explain why. They get hung up on a couple of words, and because they don't know how to explain it, they skip it. They just ignore it. But Jesus was the first fruits. But immediately after Jesus rose from the dead, there was an earthquake. Actually, at the time that the stone was rolled away, that was not when Jesus was resurrected. Jesus was already resurrected. The earthquake and the stone rolling away was to let you look in and see that He's gone. And at that point, something else happens. And that's the resurrection of the Old Testament saints. They are referred to as them that slept, or the captivity that was held captive. We'll see in just a moment. 1 Corinthians 15 again, if you're close to it or still there. 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 20, it said, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept." Now think. Corinthians was written when? You don't have to know the exact date, but it was written right about the time that Jesus had died, was buried, and rose again. Who are they, them that slept? Old Testament saints. You see, this is specifically saying he has become the first fruits of them who are already dead. It's not talking about us. It's not talking about the church. It's saying when Jesus was resurrected, he was the first fruits of them which slept. That's the Old Testament saints. In Matthew 27, go ahead and turn there, because this is just one of those stories that if you don't read through your Bible, you probably won't hear many sermons preached on it, because it scares people, including the preachers. But in Matthew 27, beginning in verse 50, it says, "Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice," he's on the cross, "and when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost." You see, Jesus gave his life. When everybody says, "Oh, those Jews killed Jesus." Well, yeah, so did the Romans. So did you and I with our sin. But Jesus went willingly. And he actually not just went willingly, but he was in control of life. He is the life. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he chose his moment to die. And we could go into that deeper, but continue here. It says, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." So you imagine this whole event going on. "And the graves were opened." What graves? All of them. It just says, "The graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many." The saints who were believers, resurrected, came out of the graves. And many of them went right into Jerusalem and walked around. You see, when you see those movies about zombies, yeah, that's not original. The only difference is you see that we saw the dumbest. They put a movie on yesterday. My girls love watching B-rated and making fun of them and everything laughing at her. And there's this movie and they're all doing the zombie thing. And it was, and one of them come roller skating backwards. The zombies roller skate. But anyway, that zombie is lifeless, and that's why they walk around like this. These were not lifeless zombies. These were resurrected Old Testament saints. And they came out and they walked around in the holy city. And it says they appeared unto many. That's the resurrection of those Old Testament saints. All of them were resurrected. Many of them in the surrounding area just went walking through the city. And you have all the Jews coming from all over the world to this feast, this Passover. That's when all this took place. And they see this happening. You wonder why so many Jews, especially including those who had yelled, "Crucify him!" Within a few days, they're believers. And then Nero starts feeding them to lions, putting them on poles, and lighting them on fire so that he can light up his gardens with Christians. And you say, what made these people who had yelled, "Crucify him," to turn around and give their lives? It was what they saw. He hung around, folks. Jesus hung around the area for 40 days. At one time, just on one event, 500 people saw him. You go back and read the writings of the Jews in the first century, they don't deny this stuff. They couldn't, because there were people who saw them who saw Jesus. And they said, if they would have written, that didn't happen, everybody would have said, you're a liar. So they didn't write it because they didn't want to be discredited. But these people in the first century of Jerusalem, they saw these events. And they saw the Old Testament saints. It was a huge event that took place. That's why the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost and filled them. It was all over with. They were ready to just die for the testimony of Jesus Christ. You can't kill me. All you can do is send me to heaven. Amen? That was their attitude. Now, this is what happened when Jesus died. And what caused that resurrection, where the graves open and the people come walking out? Ephesians chapter 4. If you're there, if you want to turn there, Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians 4, it explains what caused what happened in Matthew 27. And that is that Jesus, after being crucified, He was not just laying around in a tomb. And in verse 8 of Ephesians 4, it says, "Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive." He went into Hades, into the part that Abraham's bosom is what it was called. Abraham and all the Old Testament saints were in a place we refer to also as paradise. Jesus looked at the thief who believed on the cross. He said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." Jesus is not a liar, folks. After they crucified Him, they put Him in a tomb. His body lay there. But Jesus went into paradise that day. And we'd like to joke about the thief on the cross. He had the record for the shortest amount of time in paradise. Because that day, Jesus sees Him and all the other Old Testament saints still, and He takes them out. He took captivity itself captive. And it says, and gave gifts unto men. Now, Paul wants to make sure, but he's led by the Holy Spirit to make sure you understand what he's saying. He says, now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that He might fill all things. So there you have it. Jesus is crucified. He looks at the thief. "Today you'll be with me in paradise." He yields up the ghost. They take His body, put it in a tomb. Meanwhile, Jesus goes into paradise where the thief says, "I just saw you." And he looks around at everybody else in the Old Testament saints and says, "I'm here to take you home." And then when Jesus was resurrected, they came up out of paradise, we call Abraham's bosom, into their bodies. Up out of the grave. You talk about a trip. I mean, they're in paradise. And then, boom, in their body, up out of the grave. And looking around at the old city. And they walk around for a little while. And then, we don't have all the details, but on that day, Jesus took them home. And that's what happened. Amen? Some of you are saying, "Oh, wow." Hey, take notes. Go home and read it. Pray about it. That's what it says. Amen? So, that happened, and that's the first fruits, and then those that slept, the Old Testament saints. And then we see phase 3 of the resurrection of the just, New Testament saints. This hasn't happened yet. This is what's about to happen. The resurrection of the New Testament saints. Again, if you're in 1 Corinthians 15, I think I told you to keep your finger there. If not, I should have. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning of verse 51, a very well-known verse to a lot of you. Read that with me. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." This corruptible, your body. That's why you brush your teeth today. Amen?
Amen.
I'm hoping everyone can say amen to that. Most of us showered. Hopefully all of us took brushed our teeth. If you didn't shower this morning, you've had one recently. And why? Why is that? Because you're corrupted. Yeah. You got dead skin cells coming off you, scum on your teeth, all that good stuff, hair falling out. I mean, some, you know, not at the rate mine is, but still, every one of us have our hair that falls out, trust me. And then it keeps growing. Yeah. And all that is a process of decay. You know why you die is because your body can't keep up. You die because you can't replace the cells. They're not as healthy as they once were. And eventually, if you don't die from some other means, you're going to die from just old, what we call old age. You know what old age is? Rot. You die from rotting. You're corrupted. But this corruptible must put on incorruption. And that's why you have the resurrection. And this is what's the big event that's next on the calendar. Is the resurrection of the New Testament believers. When the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That's also 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Another well-known rapture passage. But, you know, you should read this and study it line on line. There's so many facts, so much truth and information in every line. We're just going to take two verses, and actually you start about verse 13 through 18. But in verses 16 and 17 it says, "For the Lord Himself," who? The one that was already resurrected, who was the first fruits. "That Lord Himself shall descend," who? The one that descended into hell, took those from paradise and us into the heaven. He's going to descend again. And He'll descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. If you weren't here Wednesday, we studied that. The trumpets. And there's different trumpets. We'll get into that. But you got to make sure and listen to last Wednesday's message on that. "And the dead in Christ shall rise first." See, this isn't the Old Testament saints. These are the New Testament saints who are dead in Christ. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Now, most people today believe that that could happen with aliens, but they don't believe it could happen with God. That's how insane this world we live in is right now. You go out and take 100 people on the street, they will tell you they believe it's possible we're going to be abducted by aliens like this, but they don't believe Jesus can do it. That's insanity. But that's what's coming. That's next. And that is the resurrection of the New Testament saints. But then there's another phase to the resurrection of the just. And that is, after this rapture, then there's going to be chaos, probably not just because of the rapture. But then you are going to have this man stand up, just like Obama swept the United States of America off their feet and everybody was worshiping the one and all that. Well, there's going to be a man stand up and do that with the whole world. And he will lead a one world religion. And 7 years after he assumes power, he will have, I'm giving you the short summary here, but 7 years after he confirms a treaty with the world, with Israel, 7 years after that, Jesus will return and there will be the final resurrection of the just. And that is the tribulation saints. Now, there are several places. We're only going to look at a couple. There's numerous places where you see this. But Mark 13. In Mark 13, throughout the chapter, it's describing the Great Tribulation. And it's describing nation arise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There's all this, you know, mayhem and everything. Well, then it says in verse 24, "But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory." Verse 27, "And then shall He send His angels and shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven." Now, who is that? It's the same people spoken of in Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? This is during that 7-year period. These are the saints that have been killed for not taking the mark. And verse 11, And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, just a few years, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And those are the ones that the angels go and gather. And so you have two types, 1, 2, 3, 4 phases in the resurrection of the just. And then the last one is the resurrection of the damned. All of the above on that chart from that line is called the first resurrection. All those four phases are the first resurrection. Below that is the second resurrection, which is called the second death. And that's Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4. Go ahead and read that with me. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verses 5 and 6. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Look at that closely. The rest of the dead lived not again until... See that? In other words, the damned, as I have in the chart, the unsaved, the unjust, stay in the graves. They stay in Hades, their soul and spirit, until the end of the 1,000 years. And then it says, this is the first resurrection. Who? Those, including tribulation saints, on back to Jesus. All those resurrected, it's the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in this first resurrection. No matter what phase, you're blessed and holy. On such, the second death, which is that final resurrection at the end of the millennium, on such the second death hath no power. But they, those in the first resurrection, shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. That's why I teach what some don't. I teach that in the millennium, all the just who have been resurrected before the millennium will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. For every man, woman, and child, that's how simple it is. There is a resurrection, and you're either going to be in one or the other. You're either going to be in the resurrection of the just, or you're going to be in the resurrection of the unjust. And you, human beings, you red-blooded Americans who demand your rights, get with it. You want your rights? There you got it. Choose this day to be in the just by faith in God, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or to reject Jesus Christ and be resurrected with the unjust. Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.